Hello, my name is Kelly Minter.
And I'm Regina Pinto.
And together we wrote a cookbook called A Place at the Table. It's all about cooking and community.
And after many years of cooking and serving, we wanted to write a book together.
We're so excited to bring all that we've learned to you about cooking and community in this podcast. All right, so we just finished up talking about tablescapes, but we actually, Teresa's got one more story that's going to help us make doing tablescapes even easier, and who doesn't need that? Because I know I do. I kind of stress about that piece. So, Teresa, you worked with another cookbook author, so tell us about that.
Well, she did this incredible thing. She's young, and she doesn't have, like, china and flatware and all of that stuff. She hasn't been able to collect it
Sure.
over the years.
Yeah.
And she had 200 or 300 people at her wedding.
Oh my.
So she realized that she's very practical. She didn't want to spend a lot of money renting all this stuff. So people would say, what do you want for a wedding present? And she said, bring your own plate and a knife and fork, a flatware set to the wedding. And that will be what you're eating on for dinner.
And yeah,
then
so cool.
Leave it, and that will be your gift to us. So we'll then have a set of flatware.
300 pieces.
Yeah. And,
wow.
And she gave some away. She gave some to families that were moving into houses that were being relocated.
Yeah.
And she gave some of the pieces away. We use some of them on her cookbook, but she has this big box and it's full of eclectic knives and forks. And she says, whenever I have a dinner party, I just go to these cardboard boxes and pull out the plates from the wedding. So, and some of them are so beautiful because people would bring antique looking plates and modern looking things they would find just at the flea market or at a junk store. And it was such a good idea. And I've even known people that don't have all the chairs. Everybody bring their own chair.
That is so great.
There's all kinds of ways you can, and it's fun, you know, especially if you're doing an outdoor party. Nobody has enough, you know, chairs for 40 or 50 people. So
sure.
Bring your own chair and bring a plate and there you go. You got it. You got it covered.
So, Teresa, as far as, being a woman and being in this really unique industry. What would you tell other listeners that are like, man, I would love to get into something like food styling or photography or catering mm-hmm. or just anything? What would you tell them about, you know, just encouraging them to get started and just to kind of pursue that?
Yeah. First of all, it's a very hard business to get mm-hmm. into. And it's a business that tends to, it's a close business.
Okay.
And people tend to hire people they know
sure.
and people that are already in the business. But for what I do, I started a long time ago, and there were no food stylists in the South, hardly. They were in bigger cities, so everybody was bringing in a food stylist to work on a photo shoot. And it took me a long time because I didn't have a New York address and phone number or an uh-huh. LA address uh-huh. and phone number or a Dallas phone number for people from other places to hire me. But more than anything, it took a long time for local people to hire me because uh-huh. they were thinking, well, there's nobody in town that can do that. First of all, you have to be persistent, mm-hmm. and it's really hard work. You miss a lot of birthday parties. You miss a lot of mm-hmm. family dinners because production is all freelance. And
mm-hmm.
when you're called to do the job, you're expected to be on that job 100%. So try to find someone you can either assist or go on a job and see what it's really like. Because it can be very, very hard. And it's not glamorous like it looks like on the Pinterest boards or on people's blogs. It is like,
no.
It's physical labor.
Yeah, you're hauling stuff in and
it's
out.
It's physical
yes.
labor all mm-hmm. day. But if it's something you think you really want to do, some people think they really want to do it because they want to make beautiful things.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But it's really about serving mm-hmm. the person that has hired you to do a
yeah,
certain
yes,
kind of
yeah.
job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So in a way, it's not about what you want. It's about being able to take what the other person wants and transfer their vision into something that's mm-hmm. beautiful. For your own work, start a blog and do
yeah.
that. I've had one for 11 years, and it's been a really good venue for me to just do my own work,
yeah.
my own photography, my own styling, my own recipes, and I've never done it as a commercial venture. So start something like that for yourself so people kind of get to know you. Join the your local food blogger, you know, area or production. There's all kinds of things you can do to set yourself up for then when you're ready to jump into it, you've got some credentials behind you.
Sure.
So that's what I would say. And if you really think it's what you want to do, just plug away until somebody hires you, which is what I did.
and gives you an opportunity.
Yeah.
I love that.
And you have the blog that I always go to your blog.
Yes, Teresa, tell us what your blog is.
Because
we want to pull people there.
Well, my blog is, it's my joy. It's my fun place to go to. And I started it because I was thinking about, I collect old cookbooks and handwritten recipe cards and those boxes you can find at flea markets or at junk stores. And it's somebody's handwritten recipes from like the 30s or the 20s. And it's all of their stuff they hand wrote to leave to someone. And it ends up in a, you know, in a box in a flea market.
Sure.
And it kind of is heartbreaking for me at the same time, but it's exhilarating because I'm like, I'm going to take that and give it some love. And then I started thinking about that nobody writes down recipes anymore. Women of my generation, because we've all worked, we're busy having a career, and it's like, well, okay, where are all the recipes? Where they've gone? So I started my blog for my daughters so that I could tell family stories, I could tell recipe stories, I could have recipes that they could print off and work. And just my life in general, travel, whatever, so that later on when I am no longer on this physical earth, that they can go to that and they can say, okay, look, I never even knew that about my, I tell stories about my grandmother and my mother and about, you know, my grandparents canning and the farm, you know, just all of these stories. And things that I make, I'll find like weird vegetables and it's like, let's make a recipe for that and see what it does. Or just sometimes it'll be my beliefs about different things and how I feel about things so that they will have that. Now, that's why I started my blog. And I've never monetized it because I felt like that would make it another job.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, so when people have asked me to monetize my blog, I'm like, and I have a lot of followers, but I just go, nope, that's my happy place.
That's your therapeutic place.
But it's gotten me a lot of work over the years. So it's worked out kind of nice both ways.
So is Teresa Blackburn?
No, it's Food on Fifth.
Food on Fifth.
I live on Fifth Avenue. And actually, it was the funny story about that is an online magazine got in touch with me a few years ago, and they wanted to do an interview, which we did. The whole time, they think I live on Fifth Avenue in New York.
which works out perfectly.
Which is so funny, because the guy got so tickled. I said, no, Fifth Avenue in Nashville.
Nashville.
He said, I just assumed you were in New York. And I'm like, no, but, you know, it worked out great either way. So it's just Food on Fifth.
That's great. Yeah. So, and yeah, Teresa, and people may not know this, that you're not just you don't just design and style the play setting and for the photography and all that. You're a cook yourself.
Yes.
I mean, we leaned on you a lot. I mean, Regina and I both asking different questions and things. And so tell us, how did you get started cooking and how does that also play into all of this? Because it's not just the style part. You're a cook.
Yes, I am. I've always loved to cook. My mother never let me come in the kitchen. So when people say they don't cook because their mother never let them come in the kitchen,
overcome that.
That's just an excuse. Yeah, just because my grandmother was a great cook, and I spent a lot of time with her. And she was a Southern country cook. And I spent a lot of time with her watching her cook. And I watched my mother, too, but we weren't allowed to do it. She, like, did it. But I like the physical part of cooking. It's very therapeutic to me. It's very, like, if I'm upset about something, I may go home and make something. I might make a loaf of bread, or I might make a pie, or I might make a cake. And I do it because it's very calming. And it's something, you know what it is? It's something that I can have control over. And, you know, the world is chaotic.
Yes.
And confusing. So when you cook and you make something, you've got control over that that little part of your world for a small period of time. It's very therapeutic. It's very lovely to do that. And you're in touch with something it's historical. You know, you're using sugar that people were using, you know, 100 years ago.
Oh,
you're using flour that somebody worked somewhere to make you know, it's historical. Cooking mm-hmm. is like part of our history.
Yeah, so, that's so great.
I love it. Yeah.
I love that you said that it's like kind of taking back control and that it's therapeutic, because I would say that a lot of people today in our culture, they would actually feel the exact opposite.
Yes.
It's like,
yeah.
oh, it's just too stressful for me to think about cooking. Mm-hmm. It's too stressful for me to get ahead of that. How would you help someone alleviate that? Because obviously it gets down to time.
Yes.
There's a little
All
bit of planning.
Time.
But let's just say that there's some people listening. They want to start cooking, but the whole process just is paralyzing for them.
Yes.
Where would you say start with beans and rice, or start with chicken,
yes.
or how would you help them get into this process?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Kelly, because I think it is intimidating, and I think a lot of it has to do with time and time management. And I know most people have, you know, they've got children, they're both the parents work, mm-hmm. or if it's a one-parent household, they're working, and it's like the last thing you want to do when you're exhausted is come home and cook something. But things don't, I call, what we do at our house, because we're both very busy, is sometimes we have salads 7 days a week. So we have boxes of greens in the refrigerator,
okay.
and we pull those out and throw it in a bowl. And then, you know, you look around, okay, I've got a can of tuna, drain that, dump that in one corner of your bowl. Dump some shredded cheese on the other part of your bowl. Just look, have things on hand that don't really need to be cooked.
Hmm.
Like uncooked food, and then put a loaf of bread in the oven so you've got a warm thing, you've got your salad, you've got some protein, but you didn't really cook anything.
Yeah.
But
hmm.
it's all healthy. It gives you all the things you need. It gives you, you know, your greens.
Oh, sure.
Put an apple in it if it's a tuna. Put
yes.
some grapes in it. Just things that don't have to be cooked. And then when you graduate from that, you need to make to make a biscuit.
Ooh.
And people go, I cannot make a biscuit. But I'm going to tell
you,
you can. The two-ingredient biscuit. And you use self-rising flour and heavy whipping cream.
Oh, yeah.
Put
now we're talking.
2 cups of self-rising flour in a bowl. Make a well in the middle. Dump whipping cream in and stir it till you've got a dough. Put it out on a floured board. Press it out. Cut it out. Put it in the oven. And you will be amazed at the most beautiful biscuit. And so you've made a biscuit now.
Mm-hmm. You've got a biscuit. Now, do you put stuff inside those biscuits? Do you make little sandwiches or do you breakfast?
I usually just eat them with butter. And
okay.
I make my own jam.
Yeah.
So, and I have no time. I don't even know how I do this. But my mother, when she was alive, one of her things that she would say about me when I was small was, Teresa, you go at everything like you're killing snakes. And for a long time, I was like, I don't know what that means. But now I do. It's like when I get into something, it's like I just go at it full throttle,
yeah.
like a little kid does.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of the day, at 8:30, I'm good for nothing.
You yeah.
know, it's like, okay, my day's over. I drop. But you know, if you love some things, and it's a lot of it is in life is curiosity.
Hmm.
And wanting to know how things work.
Yes.
And if I do this, what will happen for that?
Hmm.
And I think the whole cooking thing is the cooking can be overrated. You just want to try to eat well. And if it's not cooking, don't cook. You know, there's plenty of things available now where you don't have to do it, but it's done for you, but it's still healthy.
Yes.
And look for those things.
Yes.
You know.
And you still put it together with your hands.
Yes.
And you
yes.
put it on a plate for someone. And
yes.
you talked earlier about service. And I think that is, there is a joy in
yes.
that. Whether, you know, I'm not married, I don't have children, but I have nieces and nephews. I have neighbors that just came over recently. I have family members and friends that come over. And there is a delight for all of us, especially
yes.
my close friends, of whenever someone's cooking, it's, oh, good, you're cooking tonight, because
yeah.
I'm going to be able to receive that. And then vice versa, I get just as excited when it's
yes.
my night and I may have some of my friends over, April, Mary Catherine, you know, some neighbors. And I get excited because I know they've had long
yes.
days and they're working
yeah.
women.
Mm-hmm.
And I am like, oh, this is a day that actually I was able to knock off at 3 o'clock and I was able to get this really great
yes.
sauce on and this pasta. And I was able to heat up my brother's bread that he dropped off that I've put in the freezer. And put a little salad together. And it's a joy for me because I know when they walk in, they're going to not have to do anything. And they're just going to be able to relax. And I'm going to be able to give that to them. And I
yes.
know that we feel
it's a
that
gift.
About it is a gift. And it's
yeah.
a gift we receive when we're on the receiving end. But even when we're giving it, there's this somehow, you know, mysterious gift that comes back because we were able, like you talked about,
mm-hmm.
Teresa, we were empowered to do something very tangible and nourishing yes. for someone. And for I think, someone. But I think as you were, you know, both you, I'd love to hear Teresa and Regina just speak into both of you have been cooking for many, many years, and it was part of your lifestyle. Mm-hmm. But where we are in our culture, it a lot of people just grew up and it just wasn't.
Yes.
It was TV dinners, everybody was separate, it was drive-through Chick-fil-A. And now they have their own lives or their own families, and they're like, I have no idea what to do. And I speak to that, the idea of just the curiosity, and that nobody's an expert necessarily when they walk into the kitchen. It's really just about saying, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to learn. What would be mm-hmm. some things that you would tell them?
Well, it's funny because you're talking about with Teresa, and I keep thinking here about my daughter, Anna. She hated to come to the kitchen or help me with anything related to food. And it's so nice to see her now doing the same thing, taking food to people. And this week she took some, she made bread and she took to her friends. She divided in three pieces and took for, and she said, Mom, when I got there, they were tearing the bread apart. And she wrote me a text when I was with Kelly this week in the Bible study. She wrote me a text, Mom, lo, I come a long way from the girl that almost killed her husband with rock salt. One day she decided
rock
to make,
yeah,
she decided to make some vegetable, and she put a lot of rock salt on top. And it was horrible because she had no idea what to do.
Her husband with
and
rock
he couldn't
salt.
Even eat because it was so salty. But she was so funny today. She said, this day that she said, I came a long way, Mom. And she got the curiosity alive now.
Yes.
And she is doing, and she finds time to do, to make a bread or to make a cake. Or, and she calls me, Mom, run over here. See this cake. See this bread. And she loves to do it. She said, Mom, it's so funny. When we love to do something, we
yes.
find time.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
We find time.
Absolutely.
Yes. yes.
And that's what she's...
Yeah.
I think it's amazing that... Yeah, Teresa is right on point. You start slow and... Cialis, I can put a dinner on the table in 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
I just get whatever
yeah.
I have there in the...
Yeah, any more than that, and I'm bored with it, so...
Yeah, so I can do it so fast, and last night I had a salad with apples and walnuts, and we had salmon from the leftover. I put a piece of salmon on top, and it was beautiful.
Yeah, always use those leftovers.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of
always.
That.
Yeah, absolutely. Teresa, as we wrap up here, what would you tell the generations coming up behind you? Because you, I mean, I'm just going to tell you, you guys can't see these women, but these women, I want to be these women. They are beautiful. They are working. They are givers. They are delights. And so what would you, turning around, whether it's your daughters or just the generation coming up, Teresa, what would you say, what would you tell them in this whole area of art, food, whatever it is, what would you say to them?
Oh, I want them to feel the same pleasure that I have felt doing the things I've done. And my oldest daughter, I'm very, very lucky. She, Whitney and I work together. She is also a food stylist. And so we spend a lot of time together. She's a lovely cook, and she's carrying on a lot of the traditions that I started with her and that my
so
grandmother
cool.
started with me. And she does that for her family. Food is like not our primary motivator, but probably spending time together is our primary motivator. My younger daughter, the mother of one of my grandsons, is also a really good cook. And they, you know, they have little gardens and they do all the things. So, you know, try to encourage, and they weren't interested when they were young. You know, they're grown women now with, you know, homes of their own and children. And they have now are doing the same things that I wanted them to know about. And it works. You know, if you just be persistent, it's like Regina's daughter eventually. and try not to be perfect in this world because you'll be so disappointed all the time. Embrace what you have and what you can do with it and find a passion and turn off that television, I say, and get that passion going.
Bam! Wow.
You know, Teresa, I think everything also comes from the love that you have for them and you cooked for them and you did things for them.
Yeah, yeah.
And now they are feeling that same feeling that a mother feels.
Yes.
With love, everything.
Yeah,
you can
do
anything.
Yes.
You just put love on it.
Yes.
And you can do it.
And pass it around.
Yeah, you're good at
it. Put love on it and pass it around. I don't know how we could possibly end this any better. Listen, I just got to tell everybody, this was supposed to be one podcast. We turned this thing right into two because I had such great company here with Teresa. And so this is what we want to do. We want to love people, pass it around. So we're so grateful that you popped by for A Place at the Table.